kick this mic.
Oh, you look hype today, man. Hey, what? Man, Thursday, July 15th. Got a lot of sports going on. NBA Finals, WNBA All-Star Game, MLB All-Star Game. We had some other things. You look pretty excited this morning, Antoine. What's going on your side?
Hey, man, you know, I'm just happy to be here, man. That's shit. You know, woke up this morning, got a good workout in. Just happy to be here. And by the way, my Bucks.
Your Bucks.
Hey, we got a series right now, man. They even the series up last night, 2-2, man. Chris Middleton, man, had a huge game. Giannis had a good game. I feel like Drew Holiday, he affected the game in some good ways on the defensive end, putting some pressure on Chris Paul.
Picking him up 90.
90, man. You know, put some pressure on him. And now at the beginning, I was saying Bucks and 6. I kind of switched it up. I said Bucks and 7. But after these last two performances, man, Bucks and 6. Phoenix, they in trouble.
Damn. So Bucks going to run off 4 straight.
Hey, they in trouble, man. They in trouble. And like I was telling you, them games in Phoenix was tough, man. For them to come back home and Phoenix drop and lay an egg and get blown out by 20. And then game 4, they blow an 8-9 point lead coming down the stretch. Hey, Milwaukee is going back in Phoenix. All they need to steal is one. All they got to do is steal one. They come back to Milwaukee, man. I think they're going to wrap it up.
Hey, that was big. Going into that game last night, I was thinking, I think I saw somebody say it too, man. Like, I don't know. I just felt like that was a must-win game for both sides last night. Like, you know, obviously for the Suns, like you said, they came into Milwaukee hot, high. So a lot of people were saying sweep. I was sticking with the Suns in 5. It was just looking mismatched. But Milwaukee bounced back, took care of business game 3. CP3 played all right. Books stunk it up in game 3. Game 4 last night, I mean, they had every opportunity in the world to win that game, to at least cover my damn bet. I had them cover 4.5. They looked good for, 46 minutes until Book picked up his last 7 fouls in the last 3 minutes.
Bro. I tweeted this. I'm like, he had a hell of a game.
Well, you got static, bro.
Hold on. I just got that phone call. Hold on.
How's that sound? You good? Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
It's like static.
About one, two?
Yeah, it's static on the back end. Oh, just, yeah. Oh, man. I think you're good now.
Bet.
Yeah,
I tweeted. I tweeted this on last night. I said, look, man, D Buck, he's been balling out here. He's an instant bucket. But y'all, he had 40 points and 9 fouls last night, y'all.
40 and 9.
He almost hit the double double, yo. 40 and 10 fouls.
No, hey, but he was in his bag, man. Chris Paul, I mean, he looking 36, man. We take it for granted. A lot of people, you know, with modern medicine and people, you know, the money and time that they put into their bodies, LeBron and Brady and Phil Mickelson and all these old heads still, Serena, all these old heads still dominating on a high level. I got to remember, when I'm looking at him, I'm pissed off at him. Like, damn, dude is 36. But like you say, no excuses, no explanations. He got to play better, man. He played like some shit last night. Like you said earlier, Drew Holiday had a lot to do with that. But I just feel like Chris Paul was doing – he was trying to do too much. Like, he was trying to do too much, man.
No. This is Chris – that's Chris Paul's game.
Nah, bro.
What was he doing different last night than he wasn't doing all year? Like,
did you watch? A lot. He was doing a lot of shit he wasn't doing all year last night.
It was the Drew Holiday effect. It was a Drew Holiday effect. When you can bring the ball up the court.
I can't charge it all the way to Drew. Now, some of it, like I said, part of it was Drew for sure.
You know why it was Drew? You know why it was Drew? Because the previous games, Chris Paul bringing the ball up the court, he ain't have no pressure. And it was all fine and dandy. He could get into the offense, love, right? But with Drew Holiday giving him that pressure all game, it wore on him. So towards the end of the game, yeah, it was he was flustered.
He was sloppy, with it, which is a very uncharacteristic of Chris.
The Drew Holiday effect.
I can't give it all. I mean, like I said, Drew played a pivotal role in that victory last night. The late offensive rebound, the full court defense on Chris. But a lot of shit Chris was doing was just, like I said, out of character, out of order. He looked tired. He looked old. He looked flustered. And he tricked off a huge, huge opportunity last night. I mean, that was a chance for the Suns to go up 3-1 to split in Milwaukee, still won. That was kind of what I was calling. Hey, they're going to split. Still one, go back to Phoenix, close it out.
Loud so now they're going back to Phoenix.
Tied up 2-2. And that we can't continue to talk without talking about that block either.
Hey.
That
the Drew Holiday effect, man.
Stop.
He
was putting clamps on him. I'm not taking that away from him.
Hey, that comes
Drew do that to Dame Lillard too a few years back.
Hey, look, this is just it's the same, like, just think about a running team, right? You know, you're getting a running team and they running the ball, boom, 3 yards, boom, boom, 4 yards, boom, hey, 3 yards. Yo, at the fourth quarter, guess what? You're going to wear that defense down, man. The defense going to start missing tackles. They're going to be sloppy. That's what it is. Like, it's that, throughout that game, Drew Holiday putting that pressure on Chris Paul, CP3, made him look old, and you said it. That's what you said.
Look, I'm not gonna take any. I can't take any credit away from Drew. I'm not gonna do that.
Bucks and six, baby. Ain't trying to hear that shit. Bucks and six. I'm talking my shit today. Bucks and six, baby.
You don't believe that bullshit.
It's ugly for Phoenix right now, man. You don't believe that bullshit. Hey, you know how they was on the plane like, damn, like Chris Paul, he was sitting in the seat by himself. He ain't talking to nobody. Like,
stop it.
Like, you know, damn. D-book like shit. I did my thing. I had 48 fouls. The league loved me.
He can't feel himself because he had three. He was 3-14 bench in the fourth game. Hey, three. So 40 shitty too.
48 fouls. The league. I can't do no wrong in the finals.
Hey, he went off, and we came over. And Chris Middleton, he put up a 40 clip too. And this is around the time, you know, the Chris Middleton cycle: play average, play okay, play bad, drop a 35 plus, get called Batman, play average, play bad, drop 35 plus, get called Batman. So we right here in this cycle. Now we're going back to Phoenix. He'll probably stink it up again. Giannis has been phenomenal. And he didn't put up the crazy numbers last night that we were used to the last, you know, few games, but that block at the end, man, that was an all-time great block. I'm not gonna put it over bronze. I heard some people saying that. I'm not gonna do that, but it was up there. It was special. It was special.
It was definitely special. Yeah, special performance. Definitely up there, but you can't put that over LeBron. LeBron game seven, coming down full court. That was special. But what Giannis did last night, man, he's doing on both ends of the court. He's impacting the game, man, and that's what you want out of your star player. So
yeah. I mean, you can't ask Giannis, especially what happened to him in that Hawks series with his knee, to come back, man, and be playing the way he's been playing. But I still like Phoenix. And now I think it goes to seven. It's gonna be a seven game series. Now they're gonna have to win it at home.
That
game last night was very, very pivotal, bro. Very, and they had it in the bag, bro. When you lose a game like that, man, that's tough. But going back to Phoenix,
Boston Stew, what you had? You had Phoenix and what?
Hey, I ain't gonna lie, Boston Stew. It don't matter who you had last night. That shit looked rigged. At some point, whether you were going for the Bucks or the Suns, at some point in that fourth quarter, you said this shit rigged.
That foul, It was going. Both teams got horrible calls. So how is that rigged though? Like I can see if it was.
I don't know.
I get what you're saying. Like, but both teams had horrible calls. Like Giannis, he taking the ball out, 1 foot in bounds, 1 foot out of bounds. You know what I'm saying? Like the no calls on D Book. Like they started playing bully ball. Like in the fourth quarter, like the refs was like, man, I'm gonna just let y'all rock. But my thing is, if it's both sided, like how is it rigged? If the Phoenix Suns not getting no calls, the Bucks ain't getting the calls. Like
at one point, I was convinced that the refs had Suns money line. At another point, I was convinced they had the Bucks money line. I didn't know what the hell was going. Like you said, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I'm talking about every day. Then the tackle. I mean, the Book's fifth and his first six foul were like the I mean, not only were they bad, I mean, it was just bonehead, just terrible and awareness. The crack back on the loose ball rebound, the baseline with PJ Tucker.
And then it was crazy. Come on, dude. Like, D-Book, he thought he fouled out. He went to the bench. And they rushed like, nah, we want you to finish the game. We'll get this to somebody else. Like, yo, this shit was wild. Like, I'm like, come on, yo. They trying to, like, at the end of the game, I'm like, yo, they trying to give D-Book, you know, the opportunity to
shit, I wasn't mad at him last night. Hey, he really fouled out with 38. But he ended up, he dropped the 40-piece, man. Last night, he eclipsed the most points in a player's first playoff appearance. Now, he did play more games than the other guy. I think it was Rick Barry and damn, what was the other person? Dr. J, I believe, on that list. But hey, Tanner Hall said they were laughing at that son bitch. Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you, man.
They trying to get that money.
That shit was crazy, man. Giannis a real one too, man. You saw he had to leave. You know, when you gotta go, you gotta go. Came back, said he had to go take a tinkle. You know what I mean? I respect it. But man. Well, I mean, it was a great game though. It was a great game, even with all the bullshit aside. It was
man, I'm with you. Bucks and six.
And the NBA secured the bag last night. They got guaranteed. Oh,
they guaranteed, you know, two more games. Yeah, they smart now.
I think it was $250+ million now. At least guaranteed now.
No, but they definitely smart.
But they yeah, man, how did money. You for sure. How did your parlays do last night?
Man, my parlays, they stunk, man. I hit two parlays last night.
Usually you on point.
Usually on point. Chris Middleton hit, I think his was like over 24.5, I think. So that hit. I had D Hayden. I had him over.
We both had that Chris Middleton one.
Yeah, I think we both had DeAndre too, right? Over
eight and over 12 and a half
over
rebounds.
Over 12 and a half, yep.
Yeah, that
bum ass Brooke Lopez couldn't give me six rebounds.
How many he grabbed last night?
One damn rebound.
Seven foot 11, and he grabbed one rebound. Come on, man.
I had Jay Crowder under 19.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Yeah. You know, he did his thing on both sides of the court.
And then
my last one, Giannis, I had Giannis 52.5 points, rebounds, and assists, and he ended up with 48. So I was 2 for 5, man. I kind of stunk it up last night.
But I'm sure you had the Bucks winning, so at least you won that.
Yeah,
I had the Suns winning and covering. Obviously they lost that. Obviously I lost that, but I hit my whole card. I hit Chris Middleton 25.5 over. He hit that, obviously dropped a 40 piece. Campaign over 6.5. I thought that was a gimme. Cam gonna get his 9-10 points. And then 8 and 12.5 rebounds. So I had the little three legger. About damn time.
Yeah, man. That's man. 3 for 3. Shit. That was
three for three.
Nice little come up.
Yeah, I'll take that. Y'all make sure y'all download that Underdog Fantasy app. Use the code MAN. Get your free $25. And also get a chance to get your ass whooped in this fantasy football league.
Hey, while we talking about that, Mr. Scambler, hey, be sure to drive 2 QB to start your draft.
Hey, man. Yeah, man, that's gonna be fun. Man. It's already people talking shit, and I enjoy that. That's the best part.
That's the best part.
Speaking of talking shit, before we get to before we jump to what we got now, we're gonna jump to the WNBA All Star. Actually, we'll go to that now, man. WNBA All Star. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I did, man. Yeah, I did. You know me. Shoot, the whole family was watching. My daughter. Yep. It actually got my daughter interested. She was like, "Yo, daddy, can we start? You know, doing some things." I said, "Well, I love that." Uh-huh. And my son, my 5-year-old, we've been outside every day, so he was hyped just to watch that, and you know, just look at, you know, the women go out there and do their thing, man. So we definitely tap into that.
Yeah, we did too, man. It was entertaining. They had the Team WNBA versus Team USA format.
How you like that setup?
I liked it. I liked it, man, and it just shows how much talent is in the game too, and you know, these women especially, they're so used to playing with each other on all these different teams. And, you know, I went to UConn, and you know they played on all these Team USA teams from the time they, you know, 15, 16 together. Then a lot of them go overseas and play together in these times, and they play that international game. So it's not like you see the men kind of struggling adjusting to that FIBA style play. You know, it's different. Mm-hmm. No three in the key. You can hit the ball on the rim. The refs aren't gonna call as many fouls. Yeah, so it's a different game. But I liked it, man. The pace of the game was great. They played like, you know,
that's what I got out of it. It wasn't like, you know, and on the men's side, you know, the first three quarters, the men play half. Well, they play quarters.
They switch up the format now. It's like a point, you get to a point.
You know, they be out there, you know, giving a show, and then at the end, you know, that's when they pick it up. But the women, they came out from start to finish.
Yeah,
and they was playing. They was playing, man. So it was definitely good to see. And then at halftime, they had the 3-point contest.
Yeah, you know, how you like that format? As opposed to, obviously how the men do it.
I liked it. You know, I like to give you something to look at in halftime. Obviously, on the men's side, it's so many other events that they incorporate into the All-Star weekend. But I definitely like the format. 3-time winner. She was
quick.
Even that competition was, they came out the gate 27-27, you know. So
Jones was slim in there. I think she go like 6'5", 6'6". And came out and hit 27 in the first round.
And she was playing in the game. So, you know, fatigue could have sat in. But I like the format. I enjoyed it, man. I definitely enjoyed it.
It was good, man. And I don't want to mess a name up. You give it a first stab, bro. And I heard I practiced it too. Arike Ogunbowale.
Ayo.
I think that's right. Arike.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ayo. I better find out a homeboy named Arike. Very similar name, actually. Used to play for Syracuse. I mean, that's exactly what we call him, Ayo.
Ayo, yeah.
Ayo winning an MVP. She put on the show. Shout out to Tina Charles, too, man. Tina Charles, former UConn great. Been doing her thing in the WNBA. She's averaging right now. She's leading the WNBA in points per game. And if she stayed in this pace, I think this would be the highest points per game ever in the WNBA. Okay. And she's over a decade in, looking like she's on her way to another MVP season. Hopefully she stays healthy, keep balling. Shout out to Tina Charles, man.
They had some greats on the sideline. Lisa Leslie, Tina Thompson, Don Staley. Yeah. It was because I grew up on Rebecca Lobo. Facts. You know what I'm saying? You gotta throw Shamika Holeslaw in there. Like, whew, it was some real live
hoopers.
At that time, all it was Tennessee and UConn, though, for real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was Tennessee, UConn, but now
you got talent all over the women's game now. Stanford, South Carolina. Notre Dame used to always give us a run for our money when I was in school. Mm-hmm. On the women's side, Maryland, Arizona.
So you got some teams coming up.
Yeah, the game is continuing to evolve. I love it, man. I love it. Oh, man, what else we got, man? We might as well stay on the All-Star.
Put it, yeah. I was going to say the Candace Parker.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Candace Parker. Yeah. Been the first woman to grace the cover of the NBA 2K.
That's huge, though.
Yeah, that's huge for and I've actually played the 2K with my daughters. They put the WNBA players on the last one. So that's huge for her to get a cover, man. She's had a slam cover. And Candace, like we talked about, it was Tennessee and UConn back in the day. Candace, I think, matter of fact, Candace might have been the first woman I saw dunk.
Dunk in a game, yeah.
So Lisa Leslie.
No, Lisa Leslie.
Candace Parker. Candace Parker. She's been doing her thing, man. Love hearing her when she's on TNT and spending all her knowledge and game. But shout out, that's big, man. That's huge. They got Candace Parker. They got Kareem, KD, Dirk, and Luka, I believe.
So how do you feel about them having different players on to grace the cover in 1 year? How you feel about that? What's your position on that?
I like it. I like it. It's smart because you know, for kids or for whoever, and a lot of people aren't going out and buying the actual disc anymore anyway. But if let's say Luka's your favorite player, or shit, Candace Parker's your favorite player, now these could probably be collectibles. So now you have the different, you know, different covers to have. You putting out three or four as opposed to just having one cover athlete per year, kind of how you have with Madden.
Yeah,
I like it. Especially you were always talking about how it's a global game and you're trying to, you know, spread the game and get that reach more. So I like it from there in. And if I'm a cover athlete, I'm pretty sure that they like it too. How you feel about it?
I mean, I'm sitting on the fence. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As far as, like you said, being global, obviously, you know, you giving multiple players that notoriety and giving them their just due. But then on the flip side, it's like when you are that only player on the cover, that's like one of them once in a lifetime type moments. Like, you know, I'm on the top of the mountain. So
yeah,
I get it from, like, again, like you said, I get it on both ends, but you know, I'm sitting on the fence.
I feel you. That was, you know, how we grew up. It was one.
Yeah.
And that was it. Who's the cover athlete? It's one.
That's it.
And they were showing they showed like all the somebody posted on my Twitter, and AI, he had like the first four covers of the 2K basketball. It was AI. And then they finally switched it up. Yeah, shout out to Bubba Chuck, huh?
Yeah, he changed the game, man. Shout out hometown hero, man.
Definitely changed the game, man. Speaking of games, one of my favorite games, been that way for a while, MLB The Show. I know you're not much of a baseball guy. I'm gonna get you over to this side, man. We got a lot of young talent over there on the baseball side of things, man. Did you tap in at all to the All-Star game? Home run derby, any of it?
I don't know what I got. I saw you tweeting about it, but I don't know what I got mixed up into. I think I was outside slaving, shooting hoops, man, with the young, with my middle one. But I did catch some highlights. It was a lot of eventful show. But I missed out on that one.
Yeah, a lot of young talent, man. I had to tap into the home run derby. Honestly, I tapped in for Ohtani. You know,
he let you down.
He let me down. He let me down. He had a lot of, you could tell watching him. He looked nervous, and it was a lot of, you know, just cameras and hype. But I'm sure he's been dealing with it all year. He's the face of the MLB right now. And I know Stephen A. caught some heat last week. Some more bonehead comments about, you know, how it wasn't good for baseball because needed an interpreter or whatever. But, man, he's, you know, he's the face of baseball. He's doing something that hasn't been done in 100 years. And so I definitely had to tap in for that. But Pete Alonso ended up still in the show. I think the first baseman out for the New York Mets. And he defended his home run derby crown. We got young Vlad Guerrero Jr. He won the MVP, the MVP of the game. I think he's the youngest ever, 22 years old. And then who else we had? Ohtani led off the damn. Led off as a hitter, started as a pitcher. So
that's different. That's something different. Yeah,
that's different. Yeah. But a lot of young talent, man. A lot of young talent on the MLB side of things. Tatis Jr., he's exciting to watch. He's good for the game. Osuna, who he just got hurt down in Atlanta. He tore his ACL. He'll be out for the year, man. Yeah, but,
that was tough. I've seen that. So to the baseball fans that's tapping in, is baseball interesting again?
That's a good question. I don't even know the answer, guys.
I'm thinking the last time that it was like this, it was Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds,
Mark McGwire. Yeah,
Mark McGwire. Even though they might have been doing their 1-2, they might have been doing their 1-2.
The boys eating their veggies.
Ooh, some good different veggies.
Up down, ABAB select.
Is baseball back?
Is baseball back, man? That's the question. We know Tone is out.
Javier said baseball is just baseball.
What does that mean, Javier? What does that mean? Elaborate.
It's getting there. Shout out my man Dave, baby. What's good? Bucks and six. Bucks and six, Dave.
Here y'all go. But yeah, baseball, man, it's I love the playoff baseball has been good for a while. It's a slow game. Yeah, it's a slow game. I think it should be sped up a little bit. But like I said, the infusion of this young talent that they have, they've got to do something. They gotta do some better marketing, man. They gotta do some better marketing. They got to. Somebody say they'd rather watch soccer now. For me, that's a hell no.
Depending on the
that's a hell no.
Depending on the teams in soccer, but shit, y'all transitioning good for speaking of soccer.
Oh yeah, got
that boy Messi.
We just talked about his deal. Let me see if it's any details, any numbers come out with this deal.
He re-signs with Barcelona for 50% of his previous contract for 5-year deal, and still,
and still,
the highest paid.
See, now, soccer fans, soccer enthusiasts, y'all got to educate me on this, because once again, I'm a casual fan of soccer. I wouldn't even say casual fan. I'm not a fan of soccer, but I do know. CR7, Ronaldo. I know Neymar, Pogba, Benzema, all these greats, right? How in the hell can Messi take a 50% pay cut and still be the highest paid player? Like, that don't make sense to me.
Hey. That's crazy. Like, whew.
Like, can you imagine? I can't imagine that.
No,
in,
I can't
like,
imagine.
In any
no,
other sport.
No, like. I can't imagine. Like, no, like that's crazy. And it's a 5-year deal. Like, you seen Pat Mahomes? He signed his 10-year, almost a half a billion. But it's a 5-year deal. Like, and even though Messi, he's an all time great. But damn,
all time great.
Like you said, like you just named a bunch of guys that's getting money out here, that's some greats in the game. So for him to sign a 50% of his previous contract and still the highest paid,
like that's absolutely
is his game that much better than the other guys?
One of my good friends, Vinny, and I mean you'll hear a lot of it's kind of like a Kobe LeBron debate almost when people talk about Messi and Ronaldo, look at I think it's the balloons awards and the different awards that they have, comparable. Their resumes, their career resumes. So I think it's an argument. So I wouldn't say he's like that clear of a cut above over those guys. Javier B. I heard that he signed less, but we'll get rights to the team when he retires. What? Mm. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, but if that is true. If that is true. Hey, but shout out to Messi though, man. Getting that bag.
Another person that's out here getting that bag. Got LeBron James out there.
He about to touch a Billy.
about to touch a Billy, man.
While he's still playing.
Why he's still playing. And I think they said like only 300 of that is coming from 300. No, I can't say only, but 300. I think they want to say like 300 of that was from base, from basketball, and the rest of that was like what he was doing off the court. So,
yeah, Space Jam is actually they just had the world premiere the other day. I think you can stream it starting tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm doing a little show back home tomorrow for the kids. Myself and Tyrod, man, we coming together.
Okay, that's what's up.
Yeah, doing a free screening for the kids, man, so they can come out and watch Space Jam. It was dope, man. That's what I told my oldest two, like, yo, we going back to Virginia. We going to watch Space Jam. So I told him this is the second one. So we stayed up late.
Watch the first one?
On Tuesday night to watch the first one. And then there was they wanted to watch. They wanted to watch it again last night. So I said, okay, hey, we got something
okay,
here.
Okay, we got it.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
Has that movie aged well? I haven't seen the first one in a while.
It has. What? You know, I stayed up and watched that whole movie, bro. I sat there and watched that entire movie with them Tuesday night.
What did y'all? What is it on? What did you order it on?
It was wifey. It was on. It's on one of them programs on that we got on the TV. That
how about? I got. Oh, it's time for me to get rid of this cable. I feel like it's the only thing. I'm the only person in the house that watching. I watch probably four channels,
but
I got 700 channels. This shit costs a couple hundred dollars a month. And these kids, they got every other Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, Hulu. Yeah, one of them got nerd asked me, oh, Dad, can we get Peacock? Because no. We're not about to download another joint every time something come out.
Hey, like that. Hey, George, she did him dirty. She did Charles dirty. On the first Space Jam. You ain't no Charles Barkley. You just some wannabe. Man, told that man get off the court. Like, man, get off the court.
That was dope, though. That they had the real players, real game action. That shit was dope. Yeah. I remember that part. But yeah, man, that was a classic. So it's on HBO Max, but we're gonna tap into that tonight.
Yeah, gotta get them tapped into them older movies.
Uh-oh, Tone said Peacock legit. Don't sell me on Peacock. I'm not downloading any more. Speaking of these streaming platforms, Netflix, they're adding gaming now to their thing.
Man, we gotta get into gaming, bro. We gotta get us a team or something.
Bro, you got to. Those e-sport contracts, they're going to be rivaling these pro athletes contracts.
Oh, it's so crazy. We had an assistant trainer when I was in San Fran, and we used to do some the off season when I was about to go to Arizona, we would do some training together off campus or whatever. And he was telling me, he was like, "Man, I'm in talks with hooking up with this esports team." This is 2017, 18. And so I'm like, what you going to do? I'm like, they sit down gaming. He was like, nah. He said, it's a whole layout as far as nutrition, as far as weight training. I'm like, for real? And now.
What, nutrition, weight training?
Like everything, bro. It's like everything. Like it's the whole 9 yards. And I'm looking, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, oh, like, I didn't know what that serious, but he was like,
nah, I'm a whole team on Adderall. Adults. No kids.
Hey,
adults with no lives.
But where this esports is going, like you said, like in a few years, man, these esports teams, man, they're gonna be getting some big money contracts.
Yeah, they already, these tournament purses and all that, they already are generating money. And this is what kids do, man. This is what, I mean, we grew up, I know I grew up playing video games, but it's different now. And then I think the pandemic kind of put everything in overdrive. I can't even play these shooting games, the Call of Duties, I used to play Siege, and I can't even play that shit no more, man. I'm like, man. If you got a job, if you do anything else with your life, you ain't got a chance on that shit.
You know when I was big on video games?
007.
Duck Hunt. Tecmo Bowl.
Country.
Right, Mike Tyson, Punch Out, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter. Like, that was when I was like, I was into it. Like, now I'm not into it.
Used to go rent it from Blockbuster.
Hey, shit, had that Blockbuster card. That's when y'all missing out.
Man. But shit, man, I'm about to I'll take a tinkle. I'll be back, man.
Y'all put some questions in here, man. Well, my man D Buck Tickets, gotta get you a Pamper or something, bro.
It depends.
Now put some questions in here. Tell us, it was good times. Those were great times. Great times. Blockbuster, then McDonald's. That was the move. Man, but what's going on? What else going on? Man, I can't give you my my drafting strategy. Just know my team is gonna be stacked. Nakiba, I'm gonna punish her. That's gonna be light work. Finals MVP. When my Bucks win, it'll be Giannis. So, you know, Giannis will have what? He'll have two times MVP, one finals MVP and a ring. So in his young career, man, that resume is looking real, real good. And if the Suns slip up and win, if the league call in and be like, look, this is what we gotta do, D Book, he'll win the MVP. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That was epic right there. Tone, speaking of gaming, what was it like the first time you saw yourself in Madden? That was epic. But even at that time, I wasn't I wasn't a big player of Madden, but I definitely needed to know what my ranking was on Madden, and I had to see myself. So when my boys played, I had to sit there and watch.
That Madden, man, hey, it wasn't nothing like it.
Mr. Scamper, underdog. Go ahead, D-Buck. Ain't nothing like it, right?
Nah, yeah, that was a lifelong dream. And then we had when I was in college, we still had the NCAA game. So mm-hmm. I was was on that one first. And then, had the little star into me, impact player. Stop playing with one over there, man. But, nah, yeah, that shit was crazy, man. So, you had to go in there and make yourself 99 across the board.
Yeah.
They was talking about with the ratings. But it wasn't nothing like that. Seeing yourself on Madden, man, that was dope.
Mr. Scampers, man, shout out to Underdog, our partner, man. Our partners in crime have the best ball ranking on their site. Again,
what's
man,
that? What that mean?
Underdog basketball. It's one of them. The draft. When we do our draft, you understand what the best ball junk is. Once we
Tone,
tap
what's
in,
up, man? So, Tone, jump in the chat, man. Give us the breakdown, the thorough breakdown. Tone is our fantasy guru. He gonna be my fantasy assistant. Nah, he had a whoop Tone ass.
He got whooped Tone. Yeah.
Yeah. Still got to give us the heads up. Tone got on Twitter yesterday. They put the Vegas put the over under for wins for the Lions at 5.
And I looked at that schedule. That shit might be shaky for them.
Five shaky. Tone told me he got him at 8. It was dead ass serious too.
What's the mindset having to tackle someone like AP or Henry? You know what? Playing safety, those are the backs that, not saying that I wanted to tackle, but those were easier tackles for me because they were going to try to run through you. So, and I knew that. So for me, it was like, grab them knees, grab them shins. Not saying it was easy, but yeah. I knew how I was approaching that running back. But then when you had like a a Freddie T who could make you miss. He could lower his shoulder
or drop the
You know what I mean? Those are the type of running backs that I hated seeing. And me playing free safety, that's what was crazy, because a lot of times I'm the last man of defense. So I'm in the open field. So that's when it really gets tough. But shit, if I catch you in that box, shit, I'm gonna work out with you.
I know for me, game tackle, that was my thought. Game, hey, that's rally. And you know, those type of backs, actually a lot of most backs in the NFL, if they've been around, they don't stay around the NFL, get tackled, one-on-one by anybody, especially DBs. And, you know, AB paid 14 years at a safety position because he made those tackles. But a lot of these backs, man, you got to gang tackle them. For me, it was taking my shot full speed, outside thigh board, and hopefully, you know, my teammates are rallying. And then when I moved to safety, that was the one thing that I worried about the most, was just somebody just hitting that AB gap just wide open. It's like, come on, man.
And that safety, you can see it. You can see it. I know I've seen that. You see it. You just hope that the running back don't see the hole.
Yeah.
Like, because you out there and you like, yo, this hole is open. You kind of see it like, okay, that linebacker.
17 deep.
Exactly. That linebacker, he's not in his hole. He got the D lineman got cut out of his. He got reached. And you're like, I hope that running back don't see, oh, shit, he saw it, he hit it. And now it's like, oh, shit. You know, I've had plenty of them moments where in my head I'm like, oh, shit. So,
yeah. And, Dave, you know what? Making them, that ain't, like I said, it ain't a bad thing. When I say take your shot, that's what good defenses do. Like, they rally. And if I'm coming full speed to the outside leg, I know I got some pursuit coming inside out, and vice versa. If I'm taking the inside, I know I got pursuit coming outside in. So them making you miss may not be a bad thing, because a lot of times you're sending them back. Now, the worst thing you can do is break down trying to make the perfect tackle, and then that's when you're at their mercy. But, yeah, these backs, they don't make a living getting tackled one-on-one often.
Yeah.
That's a Fendi.
So I got Tone. Best ball. There's no roster management. You draft, and then at the end of the week, you get your top score from your players drafted. 16-player roster, but one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, one tight end, one flex form your 16.
Okay.
So
roster management.
That's dope. So, you know, you draft 16, and based off of, you know, whichever ones had the best stats that week, go to your score.
Sticking in that lane, I know Saquon will be high on a lot of these fantasy draft boards. He came out yesterday on, I believe, the Best Business Show with the Pompilano Bros, and said going forward, he would take 100% of his endorsement money in Bitcoin. And y'all know how I've been on the crypto space, and crypto is under attack right now again. But you know, this Saquon, he's one of the latest, you know, stars to, you know, take a stance on Bitcoin. I know Russell Okung, he took half his $13 million salary last year, I believe, in Bitcoin. Brady has done some stuff, has had some business deals with Bitcoin. They just signed a big deal with UFC, Trevor Lawrence. So, you know, the momentum is picking up. I don't think it's going anywhere long term. But, yeah, man, shout out to Saquon, man.
No, for sure. Taking his stance and believing what he believe in. I know I wouldn't do it, but –
So you want to do an endorsement money?
Not all my future endorsements. Hell no. He's getting like, I think he's getting like $10 million a year.
He running back. He a big, you know, big face of sports in the biggest market. Nah,
yeah, I think he's getting like world. I think he's getting $10 million a year. In endorsement, I think that's what it said. That's why me personally, I want to take all my future endorsement in Bitcoin. Now, if it was like, you know, I'm going to take a third of that or whatever, and I'm going to, you know, take that in Bitcoin, but 100% of all my endorsements in the future, no, I wouldn't do that.
Definitely got some risk to it, but, you know, I feel like for him, I mean, and I know I saw some quotes from it. I know part of it, he was saying like, you know, building generational wealth in the position that he plays and the sports that he plays. He not gonna have the same opportunity making that type of money as, you know, some of these basketball players, or soccer, or baseball, whatever. So he feels like this may be an opportunity. Now, if he does this, he was the number two overall pick. We all expect him to have a good career and make a lot of money on the field. So if he said, hey, I may make another, let's say he bring in $10 million in Bitcoin now. $10 million, you know, in 5 years could very well be worth 50. We all know what the future of crypto is, but it's risky.
All I'm saying is, personally, right, that's what I say. I say all the time, stay in your lane. Personally, I would not put all key words of that, you know what I mean, future endorsement into the Bitcoin. Now, you know, I would sit down with my folks and be like, look, you know, like I said, you know, a third of this, or not half, but like a third or whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. He's his own.
Facts. Shout out to Saquon, man. Young man. He got a lot of road and time ahead.
Yeah.
I think it'll work out for him. How do you think he played this year, man?
What you mean? He gonna ball out. You know, I know you was trying to get my man out of New York. You was trying to trade him and shit. But, nah, you know, he rocking the bow nose shirt. You know what I mean? So I think he's going to have I think that offense, man, like him, Daniel Jones, the receivers they got over there, Coach Judge, just the culture that he brought to the Giants, even last year, the way they were
playing. Galladay.
I think Saquon's going to have a great year, man.
We should, man. I hope so. If he stay, it's just health with him, just staying healthy, man. That's been one of his biggest issues, staying healthy. Yeah. So, the Lions, speaking of the bum-ass Lions, they just signed a deal with WynnBET. Phoenix Mercury signed a deal with BallyBet. So we got a lot of these teams signing deals with these sports books. And a couple days ago, ARK Invest, Kathy Wood, came out and said she estimates the U.S. sports betting market will grow from $9 billion to $37 billion. By 2025. So, man, I think it's going to drive up valuations of these teams, contracts, media surrounding the sports, all of that, man, with, legalized sports betting going on around, not only here, I know in Canada it's getting moved forward too. Like Ontario is supposed to be legal by this football season. So,
I got a question for you.
What's happening?
All these teams partnering with these betting companies, these sports books, right? So, you know, in our contract, players, we can't bet, right? So,
yeah,
sports teams are benefiting from it. Why can't players benefit from it?
Slippery slope, man.
So slippery slope. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. I'm just throwing a question out there, right? So it's a slippery slope, you know. Like you said, the teams are going to benefit from it. The owners, that's going to bring their evaluation out the roof, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So as a player,
but players should benefit from that as well, though.
So, because I mean, probably the revenue contract or whatever. Yeah, cool. But I'm just saying, you know, if I want to bet that I'm going to have more than 8 tackles this game.
Pete Rose isn't in the Baseball Hall of Fame, man. It's a lot of people who are juicing up. That's going to get on. And, you know, when we were in the game, we played. That the stance against, you know, gambling or being connected to sports gambling, any of that, was much stronger than even the stance against like performance enhancing drill. Like you got caught, you know, betting and whatever like that, your ass was gone. You were banned. And that's obviously for the integrity of the shield, the integrity of the game. Sure. Because if you know, players are tied to, you know, sports books and things like that, that's huge, as opposed to the actual team having these sports books in the stadium and now fans can come and actually bet on the game, which has happened anyway. So I get what you're saying, but I understand why players.
I do too.
But can't I'm be just involved. Saying, I wouldn't want players involved in that.
Man, if you my teammate, you betting that we gonna win every Sunday. Shit, yeah,
I could be betting we gonna lose too.
Hey, with you in the meat room.
So imagine a quarterback, you know, they got a partnership with FanDuel, and we out here favored by, you know, 10 points where they throw a late. Like, you're going to be looking at up, like, come on. Like, we had some, like, Luck did some dumb shit sometimes. He was a baller, but Luck threw some dumb ass shit.
Yeah,
if he had a partnership, hold on, cuz.
Nah, it'd be a lot of fights in the locker room.
Yeah,
it'd be a lot of fights in the locker room.
Kick a missing late, missing a jump, we can't have that.
It'd be a lot of shit.
Yeah, it'd be tough, man. But you know, hopefully everybody benefits from it, man. As far as everybody kind of in that ecosystem, people that cover the game, people that play the game, these refs, man. You know, refs, and I feel like refs. Overall, man, I know they do a good job overall, but I don't know, man. I feel like they're getting worse collectively somehow, some way.
You know, I don't think.
I don't think
it's the refs. The refs are tough. The officiating is tough, right? But I feel as though it's the committee, man. Whoever's at the top, because you look at it's football and basketball. You look at the games, and the games, they're being called different each game. You know what I'm saying? So there's no consistency there. So until whoever's at the top, that officiating crew or whatever, or committee, until they can get some consistency with the officials, we're gonna be saying this for a while. Like, man, the officiating is getting worse.
Yeah, it's just like, damn. It gotta be some penalties or something. Like, you just continue blowing games, and they come out with these bum ass 2-minute reports, and then, you know, they blow a call on you, and then they send a letter to the team the next day.
I think they do have penalties. The refs, they do have penalties. They do. They actually watch film. And they get critiqued throughout the game. And obviously, you know, I think one of the big things, I'll just speak on the NFL. I think NBA too, like how good you, I guess your percentage or your ranking throughout the season. That's when you get the, you know, the NBA finals or the Super Bowl or whatever the case may be. And then you get, you know, dock points or whatever the case may be. So it is a grading scale and a grading system for the
And it's a tough job. It is a tough job. You know, you got the best athletes in the world moving at very high speed. I was in the NFL offices when I was still playing one day, and most of the top refs were just in there. And the guy who was giving me a tour, he's like, hey, you want to come in here? So I sat in there with them for probably about 10, 15 minutes. And, you know, the amount of football that they know as far as knowing coverages, understanding you know, different blocking schemes, you know, knowing what offensive linemen are trying to do, what defensive linemen are trying to do, keeping guys, like the amount of football they actually know is crazy. And then how fast things happen at different angles, who's responsible to make what calls. It is a tough job. I understand that. And more times than not, they do get it right. But you know, as fans, we want them to get it right all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So we had, I think, Isaac Bruce. He was somewhere talking. He was talking about one of the best duos, him and Torrey Holt being the best wide receiving duo ever. And I know you remember The Greatest Show on Turf.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had shit. When I came into the league, I had Randy Moss and Wes Walker. You know, Wes Walker killed everybody underneath. Randy obviously killed everybody deep. You played with Marvin Weeze for a while. Obviously, Randolph and Chris Carter out in Minnesota, man.
Yeah.
You agree or disagree with Isaac Bruce, Fort Lauderdale legend, Isaac Hall of Famer, Isaac Bruce, and Torrey Holt. Is that the best wide receiving duo ever?
I'm coach, man. You know, I'm gonna go with Ace in 87, man.
Y'all got a ring too.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with them, but I think it's close though. Like you said, Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt, man, it was phenomenal what they were doing out there. They were putting on a show. each and every Sunday, you know. But I'm gonna go 88-87-1. I'll go Isaac Bruce, Troy Hope 2. Number 3, I'm trying to think of some good combos.
All time.
I think
I feel like we're missing somebody obvious.
Yeah.
John Taylor.
Yeah. Owens and Rice. That's a
Mark Duper, Mark Clayton. Ooh, throwback Dolphins, man.
Owens and Rice.
Owens wasn't really like that yet.
Like that that time. Yeah, and then I was going to even say like with Roddy and Julio, but Roddy was kind of on his way out.
Yeah. It's tough. I ain't gonna lie. All three of these that's up here.
Tough. Cause I know we missing some for sure.
We definitely missing some duos. We missing some duos. But these three right here though. So yeah. If you had to rank these three, you going Ates and Wayne.
One. Troy Ho, Isaac
Bruce. And then you got the Greatest Show on Turf, and then you got Chris Carter. Okay, Chris Carter. Yeah. Chris Carter was third. I think Chris Carter was third all time already in touchdown passes before Randy even took a snap. And Randy came in and had the best rookie wide receiver season ever up until last year. I think Jefferson just broke his record numbers wise, but
wow. It's a good question right here.
I know they ain't gonna ring, but shit,
fuck the best duo right now. We got to do wide
receiver duo right now.
Wide receiver duo.
So you can
go out Tampa Bay.
Who would you go? Evans and Godwin. Evans and Godwin. They've been doing it for a while.
Theda
Jefferson, AJ Brown, and Julio in Tennessee.
Yep. Then you can go out maybe a young buck out there in Dallas, Amari Cooper. Gallup.
Cleveland, OBJ and Jarvis.
Jarvis, yep.
I don't know, man. You know what? I'm going to go, and even though both of them are receivers, I'm going to still do it. I'm going to go Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Nah, that's why I said receiver duo. Yeah, but that was the first.
I don't give a damn what position Kelce played, but
the Cardinals, they got D Hop, Fitz is on down, AJ Green is on his down years.
Kirk not that guy yet. Consistently. Yeah,
so
We are missing somebody though.
I know we are. I'm trying to think.
I like Woods and Cup. I wouldn't put them in that top. D Hop, Adrian. Hell no. Just saw that. I like Thielen and Jefferson.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we are pronouncing Kelce's name. It's Kelce, apparently.
Oh, it's Kelce.
I heard him come out. He came out and said that the podcast or something. But yeah, that's a good question, man. It's a lot of good great duos. Question. A lot of good duos out there.
Man.
Anything else we got, man?
Man.
Oh, DK Metcalf and Lockett.
Nah, that's a good one. But I'm interested to see what this Brown and Jones gonna be like out there in Tennessee though.
Great. I mean, shit, you got 2-2 in the backfield. That's man.
Oh my gosh. D coordinators were going crazy.
That's a headache.
Yeah, yeah. But sure, man, we appreciate y'all tapping in with us. As always, the Man to Man Pause, man. Man to Man Pod. I'm Antoine Bethea, my co-host D Butt.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate y'all, man. Y'all hit that like button. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Football season right around the corner.
That Underdog Fantasy. Y'all download it. Yeah, Cole. Get that. M-A-N.
Cole, man. Easy. It's easy. Sure. But oh, we got them young boys out of Washington too. Terry McLaurin, Man to Man Pod alum, and Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
Going out there. Got some weapons, man. Got some weapons. 9 more Sundays without football. It's coming.
Countdown begins, baby.
Yeah, as the countdown begins. We'll see y'all on Monday, man. Appreciate y'all for rocking with us. Y'all out of here.